Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. We've been studying through the Gospel of John, and we began in chapter 1, and now we find ourselves in chapter 6. We're in John chapter 6. Now we began, before we begin reading in verse 41, let me review a little bit of the beginning of the chapter. We have a pretty familiar verse at the beginning. In chapter 6, at the beginning, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Now what happens is Jesus Christ is traveling and people in Galilee are hearing about Jesus Christ and the miracles He's doing. And the Bible says there's a crowd following Him because they had seen His miracles. So the Bible tells us that there's a crowd following the Lord that is very interested in His miracles, but not necessarily interested in Him as a Savior. So we find that at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus goes across after a long day, goes across the lake there, and then the crowd goes around the lake and meets them on the other side. Now He's exhausted and the disciples are exhausted, but right then He is going to feed 5,000 men. Now that's without women and children. And so He did that, but for a reason, because He gave them bread. Now the food that He gave them was a poor man's lunch, but yet it fed 5,000. We see that there's 12 baskets full by the end of that. That night comes and Jesus sends His disciples on the other side of the lake. And so they go there. And Jesus Christ stays apart and no doubt was spending some time in prayer. And Jesus goes on. We know He walked on water and then He meets them on the other side. But the crowd, then they go to that place where Jesus had left, told His disciples to go. They see that Jesus is not there. So what do? Some of them take ships. Some of them go around the lake. They're looking for Jesus again. Why? Because they had just been fed. And Jesus here tells them as they come to Him, He said, ye seek Me, in verse 26, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. So Jesus here looks at the crowd as they're coming now the next day after being fed. He says, you're coming because you want to be fed some more. You're looking for something physical and not spiritual. And then He goes on and He says, labor not, in verse 27, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. And then they asked, then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered them and said unto them, this is the work of God. You ready for it? What do we have to do? That ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. That's the work of God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they wanted to hear something spectacular. They wanted to hear something that they could do. Why? Because man's natural tendency is to glorify himself. Man's natural tendency is to, look, this is what I did to earn this. And Jesus says it's not the way it works. You have to believe on Me. Now, with this in mind, He addresses the crowd and exposes the fact that they were more interested in the loaves and the fishes and the miracles, and they were in Him as a Savior. We find in verse 15, the Bible says when Jesus had done those miracles, that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king. He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. So they thought, look, there's a man now that can do miracles. How about we just set Him up as king? Why? No doubt they wanted to get rid of the Roman government. They'd been oppressed for many years, and no doubt they thought that when the Messiah comes, He'll deliver us of our oppression. But that's not why Jesus came. He says in verse 36, but I say unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. They believed the miracles. They believed the feeding when they saw Jesus feed everybody. But they did not believe Him as Savior. They did not believe Him. They believed Him for the wrong reason. Now we come to verse 41, and now another crowd comes on the scene, and that's the religious crowd. Now we've talked quite a bit about them. But we're going to see as we travel through the Gospel of John, every time the Jews confront Jesus Christ, it gets worse and worse. At one occasion, we'll see they're going to try to stone Him. Another occasion, we're going to try to see they're going to try to kill Him. And so every time it gets worse, and here Jesus Christ talks, they just heard this phrase in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Now, this is after He fed the 5,000. He says, look, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. I want you to know, I am the bread of life. Now the Jews hearing that, we come to verse 41 of John chapter 6, and the Bible says, the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Amen. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. I want you to notice here the future tense in which he speaks. I will give is my flesh. I will give for my life of the world. Notice verse 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now don't be concerned with these verses here, verse 52 to verse 57. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He tells them, this is spiritual here, in verse 58. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread that I'm speaking of shall live forever. Verse 59, These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, is it the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want to draw your attention to verse 68, because as Jesus asked this question to his disciples, to the inner 12, not to the disciples that had left, he says, Are you going to go away? And Simon Peter answered him. Now, Simon Peter, many times, stuck his foot right in his mouth. He just, many times just said things that, it's like, Peter, come on. Which reminds me of myself, my flesh. Sometimes you just do things and react in a way that is not in the right way. But here, notice he said, he has the right answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? See, he understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to preach this morning on these, on this thought here, the words of eternal life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning and we are thankful for your word, that we have your word and we can know, Lord, as you walked this earth and what you taught and what you did. We have a sure record and we are grateful for that. Help us, Lord, as we look into this passage, that we ask that you would teach us. Lord, give us understanding by your Spirit. And I pray that if there's anybody that is perhaps not saved, that this morning they would, Lord, have the opportunity to be saved, that they would, Lord, hear the message and understand it. And we ask, Lord, for your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Peter said, notice, thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and here he deals particularly with the religious crowd. He just dealt with the people that were, generally speaking, Galileans who had followed him, but now the Jews are getting a little feedback from what's going on and what Jesus has been doing and what he said, and they're concerned with the fact that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The crowd, the Galileans, had gathered together, and they had said, "Well, our fathers did eat manna from heaven." And Jesus said, "I am that manna from heaven." And so the Jews, hearing that, thought to themselves, "How can he say that?" In verse 41, it begins, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" Now, as we study this passage here, this is all about Jesus Christ. Amen. The bread that he speaks of. By the way, in chapter 4, he talked about the water. These are all pictures, spiritual pictures of who Jesus Christ is and what he will do in a person's life. And so as we look here at this, the words of eternal life, let's look first of all at the divine person. And we're speaking of here of the Lord Jesus Christ as they're coming and saying, how can he say this? That he is the manna that came down from heaven. So he speaks, first of all, notice we have the eternal place. Where did Jesus Christ come from? He came from heaven. There's a picture there. As God, as the children of Israel were in the wilderness wanderings, God provided for them in a miraculous way by sending manna from heaven to feed them every day. This manna never ran out. As long as they went out there, they found the manna. That's exactly like the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ provides salvation and His grace will never run out. Amen. He came down from heaven. The manna was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's trying to tell this religious people here. The manna was a picture of me. But you're concerned so much as continuation. The crowd was concerned about what? They were concerned. They just ate the loaves and the fishes. Jesus fed 5,000. And so they come again because why? They want more bread to eat. And Jesus Christ says here that I am the bread that came down from heaven. You're seeking for something physical, but I want you to know I came from an eternal place. We find, first of all, he's connecting himself to God's will. Notice in verse 43, the Bible says, "Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not among yourselves.'" Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So notice here, he connects, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now some people, they look at that verse and say, see, salvation is, you don't decide anything, God just draws you in, you can't resist it, and people use these passages to teach on the doctrine of Calvinism. But that's not exactly what he's teaching here. The Bible says many times the Jews had rejected Jesus Christ. And you find that many times as Jesus Christ was teaching, because they refused to listen to the previous truth, the truth got darker and darker to them. And that's the way it works with God. As people, men reject the truth of God, when they receive that light, the more they reject it, the darker the light becomes. The darker the words of Jesus Christ become. And notice that's exactly what Jesus said. He talks by saying, "I am the bread of life." And then they interpret it and say, wow, he wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And then Jesus Christ kind of say, yeah, eat my flesh and drink my blood. But notice here, he's connecting himself to God's will. Now, the Bible makes it clear that God wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God's will is for all men to be saved. But what happens here, he's saying, you have rejected the drawing of the Father. You have rejected God drawing you. And by the way, he talked about that in John chapter 1. I want you to go back there because the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, his light has lighted every man. He's began to draw every man. But you find that truth as the Jews hear of Jesus Christ, the more he teaches, the more he does miracles, the more he proves himself, the harder they become. And Jesus said, my Father's will is to draw you. And the fact is, you've rejected that. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, notice, comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, notice, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So as we see here, John began the gospel, this whole gospel by saying God has given light to every man. He's began to do a work in every man's life. And by the way, we'll see later the reason why they're in such a bad shape is because of how God left them in Malachi. There's been 400 years of nothing between the gospel of John here when we began to between Malachi. And we'll see tonight the state of the nation of Israel, the religious state of the nation of Israel, and why they got to the place where they were so dark to when they saw light, they rejected that light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. And you say, how can someone get so far removed to where they just don't see salvation message? Because the little light they did receive, they rejected. You see, no man can come unto the Father except he draw him. So we see here that Jesus Christ here, he's saying, I'm coming from an eternal place. He's connecting himself to God's will. But secondly, he's connecting himself to God's word. Notice in chapter 6, notice verse 45. After saying this, he says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Notice he says, it is written in the prophets. He says, notice, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, that he quotes Isaiah 54, verse 13, where the Bible says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We also find a parallel passage in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. He's saying here, those that submit themselves to God's conviction come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Those that submit themselves to the Word. You see, the Jews, they were the religious people. Some of them, you could probably walk up to them and say, hey, quote the book of Genesis for me. And they will quote the book of Genesis. They'll quote the book of Leviticus. All the ceremonies, they know everything by heart. I mean, that's what they were taught to do. They did that. They knew the Word of God, but they were blind. Jesus Christ says, all the prophets spoke of me. I am the one whom they spoke of. So Jesus Christ not only connects himself to God's will, he also connects himself to God's word. And thirdly, notice in verse 46, he's connecting himself to God's way. Notice in verse 46, he says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now in chapter 5, in verse 40, notice the Bible says, and I will not come, and ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. You see, the religious crowd, Jesus said, you don't want to come to me. You've rejected me. You've decided to say no to the light that you receive. What is God's will? That all men should be saved. God has drawn you, and not only has He drawn you, but you even know His Word. But I want you to know that I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you come to me, I will in no wise cast out any man. Now, he's about to explain that even a little further. So we have, first of all, a divine person. We have the eternal place. But secondly, we have the eternal path. In verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So notice here the spiritual meaning. In verse 50 through in verse 51, he says, in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, I want you to think here. He talks about, I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's talking about a future event. Now, there he's talking about his death. He just said, I am the bread of life. Now, let me explain this to you. Now, if we study the Word of God, we would understand that at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when He died, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did shake, and the rocks rent. You say, well, what does it have to do with anything? Well, the veil prohibited man from entering into the presence of God. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among men and died as sinful flesh. Now, the veil, as the priest, by the way, the high priest only went into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he could not enter in without sprinkling blood on his garment. And no other man could go in there. If any man stepped into the Holy of Holies, that man was to die. He would die. And so he's saying here, notice the veil in the temple, which prohibited man from coming into the Holy of Holies, was rent in twain from top to bottom. What does that signify? It signified that every man can now enter in. That's what he's saying. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The veil being rent by our Lord's death gives us boldness to enter into the presence of God. Now there is no longer a veil separating man and God, but Jesus Christ is separating man and God, but also gives us access if we come to Him. So notice here, Jesus says here, I am the bread of life. He says, I will give my flesh. That's what He says. And when the veil was rent in twain, Jesus Christ says, there's no more a veil here separating between man and God. I am the veil. This is my flesh. My flesh has replaced the veil. Hebrews 10 verse 19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So the Bible tells us here that as Jesus Christ came on the scene, He's speaking of here that I will give my flesh. He's speaking of that when He would die on the cross, He would replace that veil. That's why He says, I am the bread of life. If any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So if someone comes and they want to know God, they want to come into the presence of God, all they have to do is come through Jesus Christ. Why? Because now He's the veil. His flesh. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the veil. So we must personally appropriate this bread that He's speaking of, personally accept Christ into our lives as a deliberate, voluntary act in order to be born again. That was the spiritual meaning. So as He says here, notice here, that He will give of His flesh and that He will give of His life for the world, He's speaking of here the fact that He would restore man's relationship to God. Amen. That man will no longer have to do sacrifices because He is the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. And He's restored the way to God. Amen. And now every person can have direct access to God. That's why you don't need to come through me or any other person right. to talk to God. You can anytime, any moment, any place, have access to the God of heaven. Why? Through Jesus Christ. Through His flesh, through His death on the cross. So notice here we have the spiritual meaning, but not only do we see the spiritual meaning, we see the carnal interpretation. There was a spiritual meaning and Jesus Christ told them, now Peter understood that. That's why He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But the religious people didn't understand. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they murmur. Notice in verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You see, they already have their interpretation of what Jesus said. They think Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh. That you see, you have to eat it. And you have to cut me and drink my blood. That's what they understood it as. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Right. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we talked about that this morning, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus tries one more time to help those Jews understand. He's going to go on from verse 53 all the way down to verse 58. He's going to say, yeah, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, they didn't understand. But note, he tries one more time in verse 58. He says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. This is not physical, people. You're misunderstanding it. He says, and are dead, because this temporal bread did not give them eternal life. He that eateth of this bread that I am speaking of shall live forever. You see, so we have the spiritual understanding here, but we also have the carnal interpretation. And by the way, we must be careful in our lives today, because sometimes people will have the idea and we say, well, I've tried to witness to this person and you know, I've tried so hard. Well, you just keep witnessing. The Lord is doing work in that person's life. And as we think about that, notice here, it is many times they do not spiritually understand. And that's why we pray for people. That's why it is important to bring people under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. The Spirit of God is working in them. And maybe it is that they receive little light. If they accept that little light, then they'll get more light. And then more light. And so don't stop, because here, this is a perfect opportunity that someone that may not understand everything about salvation, keep witnessing. Keep giving them the Word of God. Keep giving them spiritual truth. And the Lord will keep working on their lives. So we see, notice the divine person. Jesus speaks of an eternal place, and he also speaks of an eternal path. But secondly, we see not only a divine person, but we see a disappointed people. In verse 60, the Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Now, this is not, the religious crowd doesn't get it at all. The Bible tells us these things, said he in the synagogue, so he was preaching in the synagogue apparently, as the religious people were listening, and now he kind of turns to his disciples, the attention is turned to the disciples, the followers of Christ. Now this is the disciples in general, those that were following the Lord, not the 12 disciples. These were people that had made a decision to follow the Lord, and notice when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Now, before we say, well, see, even the disciples didn't understand. Wait a minute. Peter understood. Right. 12 disciples understood. Well, maybe not Judas. But the 11 disciples understood. So maybe the disciples that were following the Lord didn't understand because they weren't following the Lord for the right reasons. Right. So we see, notice, the murmuring. In verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? They murmured. Notice he goes on in verse 62, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, is it the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Notice he says in verse 63, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, this is in connection. Remember, he told the people that had come to him, that had been fed, when Jesus fed the 5,000. He says, labor not for meat. He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The Jews come on the scene. after they heard him say, I am the bread of life. And Jesus here constantly reminds, whether it be the Galileans who were following afar off, or even the religious people, or even the people that were following Jesus Christ, he tells them, the flesh profiteth nothing. You've decided to follow me because you're interested, you have ulterior motives. People who come to Christ for any other reason than the spiritual reason that they are drawn by Him, by God, will soon fall away.
That's right.
You know, sometimes people, they go to church. Why? Because they just want healing. Sometimes people, they'll say, well, I'm going to turn to the Lord because I want to be financially stable. Someone will turn to the Lord because they want something to work out in their lives. But as soon as that works out, then they leave. Or as soon as they hear something that perhaps bothers them or something that they may not like a whole lot, like later he's going to say, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. That's a hard thing. And there's several things, spiritual truth, as they're being communicated that people will murmur and say, I didn't want that. I mean, I just wanted the benefits. I didn't want to follow Jesus. I wanted help. I don't want to follow this guy. And that's where they found themselves. So we see them murmuring. Not only do we see them murmuring, we see the forsaking. In verse 66, the Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left. They heard what he was saying, and they left. Now Jesus in verse 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. In other words, as you're following me, some of you have the appearance of you're agreeing with everything I'm saying. You left your house and you came and you followed me, but you don't believe. Someone follows the Lord but does not believe? Yes. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. He's talking about the disciples, in generally speaking, those that were following the Lord. When they came, He knew who they were. He knew who came to Him with ulterior motives. He even knew, notice in at the end of the verse, and who should betray Him. He's speaking of Judas. He knew what Judas was going to do. Why did Judas come? Well, we know this. He was in charge of the money. Why did he come and follow the Lord? Well, we kind of have a little bit of an indication. He probably thought, this is my thinking from what you see in the Scriptures, because when he went, he wanted money to betray Jesus. So he probably saw Jesus come on the scene, he thought, hey, this guy's pretty popular. And this guy's doing miracles. I might be able to make some money off of this. And as he followed the Lord, he found out, you know what, there's no money here. I'll betray him. I'll get some money then. You see, when we follow the Lord, it's not going to be of the flesh. It's going to be of the Spirit. That's what endures, by the way. You know, because that's not based on feelings. You know, I'll be honest with you. Some mornings I wake up, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like a Christian. And sometimes my son or my daughter wake me up. And I don't feel like a Christian. It's not about feeling.
Right.
It's about the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Amen.
What we're doing is not of the flesh. But you know what? I go to church or I read a little bit of God's Word and things just change.
Amen.
I'm comforted.
Amen.
I'm encouraged.
Right.
God deals with my heart. Because I'm not going to remain in this dump here, this attitude.
Amen.
Why? What Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
There's a spiritual thing going on. But see, many times when a little storm comes along, many people, they begin to drop away. Why? Because it was never spiritual in the first place. Some people could come to church for, you know, relationship reasons. Wow, they have a big young adult program. And I think I could find someone that I can marry. Now, that happens, but I'm saying sometimes that's all why people go there. Or they'll go while they have activities. Hey, the church is scheduling a baseball game. You like baseball, right? Hey, let's go to the baseball game. But if you go for that reason, when the preacher preaches the Word of God and you hear something you don't like, you're going to fall off the map.
Right.
Why? Because you came in the flesh.
Right.
and not in the spirit. So we see, notice the disappointed people. We see the murmuring and the forsaking, but lastly we see a determined Peter. So we see a divine person, a disappointed people, and we see a determined Peter. Notice what happens and what Peter says in verse 67. The Bible says, and then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think about it. Peter, what he's saying is there, having heard Christ, having heard you, having heard what we've heard, having been in the Word of God, after being saved, having heard the Word of God, and having been challenged in our hearts, having been regenerated, having been born again, why would we want to go to Buddha? Right. Why would we want to go to Muhammad? Right. There's nowhere else to go. Amen. There's no other person to go to. Amen. Why would I want to go to the humanist psychologist? Well, why would I want to go there? Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. The words of eternal life are found in you. Right. And Peter simply says, there's nowhere else to go, Lord. Where am I going to go? You're the only one that's changed my life. Right. You're the only one that's challenged me, that's transformed me. You're the only one that I hear, that when I hear, I know that this is the truth. And when we come and we hear the truth, we ought to say the same thing as Peter. Where am I going to go? There's nowhere else to go. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. No, he says, we believe and we are sure. Wow. As you see the Jewish religious get further and further away from Christ and get angrier and angrier with the Lord and His teaching and His miracles. You find the disciples, not perfect, mistakes, yes, but getting stronger and stronger in their faith. They're seeing the Lord, they're hearing His teaching. And here for the first time, Peter said, not only do we believe you, Lord, we're sure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, after what you said, Lord, today, that you are eternal life, you're the bread of life, I see it now. I see that you are going to give your flesh. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I see you are the way to God. I see it. Where am I else going to go? Amen. You know, here was a man who understood everything that Jesus said. These words of eternal life brought comfort to him. These words of eternal life would soon be preached by Peter himself.
Right.
Yeah. In Acts chapter 2. Yes, after he forsook the Lord. Yes. He's going to preach those same words of eternal life.
Amen.
And say, Jews, you that have taken him, you that have crucified him, he's died for you.
Amen.
He's paid for your sin.
Amen.
And you can come to him. He has the words of eternal life.
That's right.
And as we think about this, let that encourage us this morning and strengthen us to be like Peter and say, you have the words of eternal life. Now the Bible concludes with this, which is interesting. We're encouraged. And then verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You see all the levels here. You have the level of the crowd that followed the Lord because of the miracles. People were following the Lord and they kind of left because it was a little offensive what he said. You have the religious people who are really strong and really opposing the Lord. They're so strong they don't even understand anything he says. Why? Because they have a carnal mind. Then you go a step further and you look at the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 disciples, those that saw everything. Now we have to be careful because sometimes we think, well, God, if you did this, then I would believe you. The question is what did Jesus need to do to convince Judas? Could he have done anything? In my opinion, he did everything. I mean, from his miracles to his teaching. But Judas was never a believer.
Right.
Why? For the simple reason. He came to the Lord with ulterior motives.
Right.
He came to the Lord in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the spirit. You see, as God no doubt was drawing him, he thought, you know what, I can take advantage of this here. This can be a profit to me. That shows a man that does not understand who the Lord is and what the Lord has done. Did he believe Jesus existed? Yeah, of course he did. He was there. He saw him. He believed him. But what was keeping him from that? He was in love with the world. He was in love with himself. And we must be careful in our lives that we may not be Judas, we may be saved. And we may say, well, thou hast the words of eternal life. But we maybe we extremely careful that we do not care for the things of the world. That after we have been quickened by the Spirit, we do not return into a life of the flesh. Into a life that is guided by our emotions and what we feel like doing and what I think is best.
Right.
Let's always go to the one that has the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And that'll help us.
Right.
That'll help us. My wisdom is futile. But God's wisdom is infinite.
Amen.
It will never cease. It will never run out. That bread, he says,
Amen.
Will never run out.
Right.
The water that he told to the woman of the well will never run out.
Amen.
It is a well springing up into you, into everlasting life.
Right.
There's no end to it.
Amen.
It'll never run out. So, as we think about this, who do you think has the words of eternal life? Well, if you're saved this morning, you know. Let's stay with the Lord who has the words of eternal life. Let's pray.